Thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters. Mostly a show about living and gardening naturally, but I've gotten kind of broadened it out over the last decade or so. I do like to include talking about climate, and of course, in this particular portion, I'm talking about an endangered species that I have talked about, again, probably two or three times each year, and that's the monarch butterfly. To begin with, this is going to sound like it's negative, but it's not. It's actually a positive situation I have come across, and that is they've legally put the monarch on the list as an endangered species. Now, on the surface, that sounds bad, not good, but that's a step in the right direction because now we can insert laws that can make people more aware of what they can do to better protect this species. It doesn't sound like it would be, but it really is a keystone species. We call them indicator species. What does an indicator species do for us? It shows us when they are no longer able to exist and to repopulate and maintain their numbers. It's telling us, folks, something's wrong with the environment. And we've known that about this particular, I'll call it an insect, butterfly, for a decade, more than that, two decades. We've watched the fluctuations in their populations, and we've learned a lot about them, but we've been out of control on what we're able to do to help them, which, by coincidence, is going to help the well-being of our environment. So anyway, both the good news and the bad news, the monarch butterfly has been classified legally now as endangered by the IUCN, give you those names once, International Union for the Conservation of Nature. The bad side, though, of it being listed is that's just two steps away from being labeled as possibly extinct or extinct on the group's red list of threatened species. So that's scary, but at least now it will make more people aware of the problem, number one. Number two, it will give us certain abilities to do what it takes to protect this species, which means it's going to protect a number of animals, mammals, birds, and species that happen to also live within the environment that this insect is successful in. Listing the monarch just shows us that we have a legal definition now that it is threatened from habitat destruction and, of course, is obviously being affected by our ever-changing climate. I'm not sure anybody has listened to my shows unaware, but the migratory monarch is a subspecies of monarch butterflies. These insects are known for their impressive migrations, traveling as much as 3,000 miles from the cool north up in Canada, all in that part of the country, to the warmer south. Mexico is one of the best spots you can find them in the winter, and that's where they do spend the entire winter. Then after they spend their winter in Mexico, they migrate back north. It takes four generations of monarchs to make the trip back, for instance, from southern Canada before returning back to the end of summer. Millions, millions, many millions, especially in the good years, of butterflies make that trek every year. While these numbers are almost hard to grasp, the IUCN estimates that over the past 10 years alone, the breeding ground in U.S. and Canada for monarchs has diminished from as little as 22% to maybe as much as 72% in a lot of areas. Much of their habitat has been destroyed by logging and deforestation, of course, for urban development and for farming. We do have to eat, folks. In addition, what I think has been the most detrimental is a change of use of a number of pesticides and herbicides across their range that kills both the butterflies, but more importantly, it kills the one thing a butterfly has to have to reproduce, milkweeds. It's the only place they can lay their eggs that their caterpillars can grow. Okay, their caterpillar absolutely depends on the right amount or enough milkweed for them to be able to reproduce. And the pressure that we've put on them, humans being, along with the idea that climate change is playing a part, is part of the problem. Drought and wildfires affect milkweed growth, as you can imagine. Extreme temperatures cause butterflies to migrate before the milkweed is actually available to them because of the climate change. And severe weather has also killed millions of these insects. Our weather is getting more severe. There's anybody that doesn't believe that is just not paying attention. And it affects us. I mean, while I'm doing this week in Chicago, a bunch of people drowned on floods like they've never had before. So not only are we affected, but so is the whole world around us. I have followed these butterflies for over 30 years, and folks, to me, believe me, it's difficult to watch the monarchs and their extraordinary migration literally teetering on the edge of total collapse. It has fluctuated up and down a lot. The past year was actually a little better than some, but then right when we think we have a grip on it again, there's a true catastrophe and we lose huge numbers in a single season. So many organizations and people have come together to try and protect the butterfly and its habitat, from planting native milkweed and reducing pesticide use to supporting the protection of overwintering sites and contributing to community science. We have all a role to play in making sure this, for lack of a better word, this iconic insect makes a full recovery. As I mentioned at the beginning of the article, although it's really bad news that a species moves closer to being labeled as extinct, the classification gives conservationists some tools to help protect them. The decision by the IUCN to add migrating monarch butterflies to their quote-unquote red list of endangered species is an important step forward in protecting this butterfly. Current studies that show how insects and plants react to changes in the environment, including the monarch butterfly, as well as the iconic milkweed they have to even survive as a species. The University of Michigan Biological Station has been studying monarch populations for the past couple of decades. And like many migratory species, monarchs are exposed to all kinds of environmental threats as they make that journey all the way from Canada, the United States, and down into central Mexico. However, because monarchs are so well studied, they can serve as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, sort of as a canary in the coal mine for a lot of endangered species. Ideal example, fully 50% of all the other insect species that live on milkweed, and there's a bunch of them, have had precipitous, I hate that word, declines in their populations. We need to sustain conservation efforts if we're to protect monarch butterflies and the other insects, birds, and other living animals that depend on an entire ecosystem they've spent hundreds, if not millions, well, say thousands, if not millions of years to evolve to fit into. So again, even though on the surface it sounds like, oh, this is bad news, they've now been considered a species of most concern, which means possible extinction down the road. That does alert not just us, but we now can work with states. We can now work across state lines. And if we make the environment for the monarch butterfly, let's just use them as an example again, that makes it survivable, it's not going to just help that species, folks. It's going to help many other species, a bunch of probably we don't even have a grip on. If we don't have any reason to follow them, we happen to follow the monarch butterfly because it's beautiful, it's iconic, they always use that word, and it is an indicator species. But that indeed, by default, will help a number of other species adapt, I hope, or us to adapt the environment back to what it used to be to make it a livable situation. Because we don't know at what point we'll lose a species that could have been a valuable, valuable asset to us that we've not even discovered yet. So my take on the monarch, I won't go any deeper into it now because if you want to go back in my other shows, I've done some extensive shows about the monarch, usually in the spring and fall because I see them outside and it kind of triggers me to kind of reestablish the facts about them. So anyway, I hope that at least, like everybody, I try to reach one or two people at a time that makes you think a little bit more. Plants that the butterfly lives on. Now, they need milkweed for their babies. They need milkweed to lay eggs and for the actual caterpillar to live on. But the monarch itself survives on a number of different plants it gets pollen from. Lists are available everywhere. Again, I won't take a few minutes here to give you every kind of flower. You can't. But there's a number of them that if you'll just, instead of growing St. Augustine in your entire yard, put a place aside for a natural area. And in that natural area, look up, go to any good nursery, certainly go to the internet, and find out the list of flowers and other plants that grow in your area that are actually an asset to nature, and make that a part of your yard. It looks great. Now, I do remember I had a neighbor that got a ticket once because he grew his whole front yard, and this is in a fancy place called Alamo Heights in San Antonio, and then didn't trim it for like a month and a half because after it bloomed out, he wanted the seeds to go ahead and replant themselves, and there was some kind of ordinance that made that illegal, but he actually worked on it. His name's Manuel Flores. He's probably still around. Actually make them change the law so that the plants had a better chance instead of everybody having to have what I call a golf course greens area as a lawn. Yes, it might be attractive view. It's certainly not bad, but it is bad in the idea that it certainly limits the different species and the interaction that we need for Mother Nature to continue on as it's been doing for the past millions of years. I think we all need to learn to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. So consider making a part of the whatever your real estate is, a natural part of the world, not an unnatural. Folks, where we live was not just Bermuda and St. Augustine grass for millions of years. It was a varied population of plants, birds, mammals, reptiles, and insects that we have slowly either eliminated or made extinct in a number of areas where we live just by default. None of us that I know of are doing it intentionally, but you have to consider that. We stay right where we are. We're a little isolated species, and we have the one thing other animals don't have, the intelligence to alter our environment to our best advantage. All those other living things out there have to alter their existence to whatever environment is left for them to be able to adapt to, if possible. And if not, then that species is gone. Most people don't realize we're not losing tens, but hundreds of species every year here on this earth, many of which we haven't even had a chance to study, some of which we don't even know existed till after we find out that we've already wiped them out. So come on, folks, switch to your LEDs. We know that helps. Take a portion of whatever property you have control over and try to make an effort to put it back to natural, to nature. It's a win-win for all of us, and especially for the environment and the world around us. Thanks again for staying tuned to Organic Matters.